In a world that can be challenging, and at times unpredictable, it's hard to find moments to focus on what you need. Join Stephanie James on The Spark as she guides you to use your inner flame to ignite your best life. As a best-selling author, psychotherapist, transformational life coach, and international show host, Stephanie is dedicated to helping you create a life that takes you, your goals, and your passions to the next level, so you can live a life that is fully lit up and fully alive. She believes that your life is meant to be a beautiful expression of the things that light you up, that by living your dreams, you give permission to others to do the same. Are you ready to feel alive and inspired to fuel your dreams and put a fire behind your desires? Let's ignite a spark in one another that will illuminate the world. The Spark, with your host, Stephanie James, starts now.
Welcome to The Spark. I'm your host, Stephanie James. I am so excited to have you here with us tonight. I have a very special guest, Sherry Brown, with me today, and she's a singer, award-winning songwriter, musician, Emmy-nominated producer. So thrilled to have you with us here today, Sherry. Thank you for being here.
You're welcome, and it is my pleasure.
Well, I am glad that we are connected. I was thrilled to just hear about, my goodness, you've had an amazing career. And talk about your journey a little bit before we get into this beautiful new album and book. You started out in the 80s. You were doing some R&B and pop. Talk about that journey.
Oh, a dream. It was, still is a dream come true. When I was in high school, I actually started doing music. I think I wrote my first song when I was 10 years old in the sixth grade. I might have been 11. And I taught myself how to play the guitar. So I always knew I wanted to be an attorney first. For years in high school, I got involved with debate and speech. But something happened during my high school year. So I taught myself how to play the guitar. I would bring my guitar everywhere with me. And I would play every opportunity that I had. And I'd always play songs that I wrote myself, original songs. And I went to an all-girls high school. And, you know, sometimes, you know, us girls can be, at that age, can be kind of rough, with very critical of each other. Mm-hmm. But they embraced my music. They actually really liked it. And so that, you know, I had that support system then. And I would just continue to write and play and share, and I'd get involved in talent shows, and so what happened is during that time, I used to tell people I'm going to be a singing lawyer because I loved music so much. But something happened. My senior year, right after graduation that summer, I had entered this huge contest. It was similar to like American Idol, but on a smaller scale. But it was really big time here in Los Angeles. They had it at the Hollywood Bowl. The finals would be in Hollywood, California. So I actually made it, without going into all of the details, I actually made it to the finals at the Hollywood Bowl. And in the finalist section, division, and I played two songs that I wrote with my guitar, and there was a conductor who did charts and an arrangement with an orchestration. So here I am with my guitar on a stool in the middle of the stage in the evening in the bright lights at the Hollywood Bowl with the orchestra behind me, singing two songs that I wrote. And I won. I was against two young men who were excellent in their own, you know, individually, you know, in their own right. And it could have gone anyway, because that was the excellence. That was the talent, right? But I won. And when I was on the stage, something happened. So, you know, I had a big support system. My family, I'm the oldest of eight. And both parents were born in Los Angeles. And each of them, my mom had 10 siblings. My dad had eight siblings. And so we have had a humongous family. And so between my family and my friends, and there was a friend of mine named Sarita Wright, who used to be with Motown Records, the late Sarita Wright, she passed some years ago, and she actually was married to Stevie Wonder. She was in the audience with some other folks and that she works with. And so there was, and then there was a group way in the back, and it was around 4th of July, and they were popping firecrackers, and they were kind of noisy. But something magical happened. As soon as I walked on the stage, there was a hush. Oh my gosh, it was just like real spiritual. It was like, oh my gosh. And then I performed, and there was one spot in the song where I did something vocally, you know, I can't remember. I did this little vocal lick, and the whole audience went, wow, right? And then as soon as I got off the stage, they went back to popping the firecrackers and that kind of a thing. And so that feeling, not only the feeling that I felt within, but the feeling that I saw that people had experiencing what I was sharing in my music, it was pretty incredible. It was powerful. And at that time, I said, this is my calling. This is what I'm going to do. And so, you know, even in high school, I used to tell people, you know, I'm going to sing. I'm going to be a professional singer. And they would say, no, do you know how hard it is? Do you know what the competition is like? And I would say, I don't care. I believe in it because I have a lot of faith, one, and I'm working hard at it. And I don't care what you say. And so I just continue to nurture the gift that, you know, God gave me with my music and the writing. And someone was saying, well, how did you get discovered, or how do you get discovered? And they really, I tell people, there's really no formula, because it's different for everyone, right? And so I was talking to somebody recently, and I was telling them, you know, I grew up with musicians as friends that played for Michael Jackson, that, I know Stevie Wonder. He played on my second album, you know, and it just was, they were my friends. We would just hang out together. I didn't know anything different, right? So in 1980, I got a recording contract with Capitol Records. And the rest is history.
What a joy. I mean, what a powerful experience. I was feeling that vicariously through you, just you up there on stage. And
oh my gosh.
Oh yes. My gosh. Just that. And that connection with an audience.
Yes.
Which is amazing. Amazing. You know, and I can only say from my very limited experience as a singer myself, and just singing with local bands and, you know, throughout my life and doing speaking gigs, always, I mean, you know, 300 people, not huge arenas like you've done. But that there's a feeling when you are making connections with other human beings,
yes,
in that way.
Yes. Yes.
And it's palpable, yes, and it's powerful, and it's magic.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I love that. So how exciting. And so now you've been writing and you've been developing your gift. And I love the piece, Sherry, that you were talking about, that it didn't matter if other people were afraid for you to live your dream,
right,
you know,
yes,
because we know that it's like they're afraid, they're projecting their own fear that, oh, I can't own my dream.
Right.
You know, if I want to be a singer, or if I want to be a writer or an artist, you know, that might be fanciful, but you are like, no, I know this is in my soul. This is who I am.
Yes.
Absolutely,
yes.
Beautiful.
And you know what else? My parents were really supportive of me. My late dad and my mom, you know, my dad used to take me all around the city to auditions and to performances. I used to play on the bus on the way to school every morning. And I passed by, the bus passed by three different high schools. So there were a community of students from these three different high schools riding this one bus. And so it got to a point where they would have a space ready for me when I got on the bus. I'd have my guitar with me. And right in the back, in the middle, would be my seat. And they'd be on each side. And that was my audience. And I just, it was just so much joy. Then I'd get to school. And I would have stayed up all night working on a song, a new song that I wrote. And I'd have to get up early in the morning to do my homework, right? And so I would ask the teachers, whatever, whomever that first teacher was in the morning, I just wrote a new song. I just wrote a new song. Can I play it for the class? And, you know, my teachers would let me play that song for the class. And they were so into it. You know, it wasn't like I was trying to show off. It was just so much joy in doing that performance, and even more joy seeing the response that other people had, the reaction, you know, that if it gave them joy, then I just wanted to keep doing it. I wanted to do it more, you know, so it went both ways.
Well, and I just see that. I mean, I can just see that as you're talking about that. It's almost like this infinity sign, if you will, yeah. You know, this beautiful joy and energy coming out. And then it's like it ignites the audience. And then, you know, even a classroom of students, it's like everybody's on that wave.
Yes.
And so
yes,
the energy is going back and forth. And what a beautiful thing. And what a joy. I love hearing about that. I love the image of you on the bus and the kids, you know, just moving. You have your special place and how you brought joy then to everyone's day.
Yes.
You know, and that's not about ego. That's about flow. That's about love.
Yes, 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 yes. And I noticed that kind of connection that you have, you know, when I was watching you on your website with your with those that you're sharing your gift with. And I said, oh, I really shine. Oh, yes, I love that shine, right? You have that little tagline, you know, to shine. And that's like major.
Oh, thank you. You know, and you know, just to share with the audience, Sherry and I got on before the interview and we could not stop laughing, and the joy and the excitement were just really so wonderful. And I had just watched Sherry in a video of her song, I Choose Love, and I could just see the joy and love in you. I mean, it's contagious.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. There's another video. I don't know if you've seen it on this new album. The first single is called Take a Walk with Love. And it's what people say when the way they react when they see it is that there's just so much joy. And it was taped. It was filmed inconspicuously. It wasn't staged. The person who was filming was getting spontaneous moments. You know, he was just roaming around while we were doing our thing and we weren't really noticing him. So he was able to capture not only my joy, but there's a number of younger, this collaboration involves another generation, you know, the old school folks, you know, my peers, collaborating with some of these, the new upcoming talent, musicians that work with different major artists. One gentleman, young man has worked with Dr. Dre and someone else was worked with Solange, you know, Beyonce's sister. And then I have a young adult daughter and son. Both of them are involved. I have some nieces and nephews. They're involved. They're very talented. And this video is called Take a Walk with Love. And so some of these musicians, when we were recording it, we were just laughing in the studio, right? And there's an artist named Charles Bibbs. He's an internationally known artist. And he painted the picture that is used for the album cover. And he and I worked on it for a year where he would send me little snippets of what he was doing visually. And I would send him snippets of the music. He calls this piece Love Is. And he said it's one of his best-selling pieces right now.
Oh, beautiful. Yes. Beautiful. And I want to make sure that the audience knows the album that we're talking about is Messages from the Spirit.
Yes.
A collective.
Yes. Yes. So yes. And I think, I'm so excited about this piece, this album. I think it's one of my best. I think it's my best since my first Capitol album. That first Capitol album, Straight Ahead, will always be really special to me. It still does very well, especially in Europe and overseas. And they actually the company that released this album is out of England, out of the UK. It's called Expansion Records. So the first single made it to number 3, Take a Walk with Love, on the, what is it called? The UK Top 30 Soul Chart.
Love
and then
that.
And then it the album made it to the top 15 of the same chart for albums. And now we're talking to them about the next single. We're going to do a remix. So we're talking about doing a remix. And, but yes, it's very special to me. The music, the songs on this album are a part of a book that's going to be coming out in the spring of 2022 called Messages from the Spirit. And there's stories, true stories, a collection of true stories from young adult women who've overcome challenges, life challenges, how they were able to do it. And it deals with their courage and their spirit and their faith. And they all wanted to do it because they felt their story would help to not only retelling the stories as a healing process for themselves, but the stories would be healing for other people. And so there's a song dedicated to each woman in their story. There's a song dedicated to each chapter. And then some additions, a few songs, and maybe, you know, one of the chapters might have a couple of songs. And so the thing that's unique, so this project is a follow-up from the first one called, I think it was released in 2015, called Messages from the Heart. Mm-hmm. And that was a book with music that came with it. So it's the same format, but this one is focusing on young adult women. And I talk about it in the book too. The thing that's so amazing for me is that 40 years ago, this is the anniversary of my first Capitol album release. And I was a young adult then. So my young adult years had so much to do with who I am musically and just as a human being now. And to be working on a project that is dedicated to young adult women 40 years after my first major music project came out as a young adult woman, it's like a full circle, right? Your infinity illustration that you use is that was pretty major. But the thing that, and the thing that makes this unique, this project, is that some of the young women who tell their story, the song that is dedicated to their story, they're actually singing and performing on it. Mm. It is so, it's so touching. And so we put the album out first, you know, so that the music can get out there and we can tell the stories and what's coming in the stories before the book is released.
Well, when we come back, I want to talk with you more about the stories. And I think it's just so important. I mean, more than ever right now, I feel like we need those role models, those examples of women that have overcome. You know, we all have been facing so many challenges, and there are a lot of challenges that we just know yes. in humanity right now.
Yes. Yes.
So it's when we can hear these stories, and then I love woven with music, it just, yes. it speaks to our heart in an even deeper sense. I think it just resonates in a whole different level. So yeah. I'm excited to talk to you more about that. So stick around. We'll be right back with The Spark and Sherry Brown right after this.
TransformationTalkRadio.com.
And we are back. Welcome back to The Spark with Stephanie James. I'm here with my guest, Sherry Brown. And before we get started on this next section, which I'm so excited about, I wanted to welcome all of you to sign up for an amazing event that's coming, a free event on November 6th from 10 to noon Mountain Standard Time. It's the Igniting Your Best Life event, and I will be hosting it. I'm so thrilled to have you there with me. It's actually the insights of 22 thought leaders that were on my What We Need to Know Now, Living Wisdom for a Changing World event. And I've extracted so much of those ideas and wisdom. So many of these people are just beautiful, you know, friends of mine in my soul tribe. And we've had these beautiful conversations. And I want to bring the best of what they were sharing to you. And combined with my own 33 years of experience as a transformational coach and a psychotherapist, I'm so excited to share the things that are going to help you break through limiting beliefs, to truly ignite the spark within you, and to really reimagine how you can live a life full of passion and really to your full potential, living in full expression. So join me, just go to stephaniejames.world/ignite-your-life. Absolutely free. Can't wait to see you on the inside. So I am here with the beautiful Sherry Brown, listening and learning about her magnificent new album, Messages from the Spirit, the Collective, and the paperback book that's going to be coming out. And it's talking about eight different women and the amazing stories of how they have overcome challenges. So I'm so curious, Sherry, how did you choose these women, or how did these women choose you? How did you all come into alignment for this beautiful project?
Wow. You know, I'm glad you asked that question, because most of these young women were children in a children's choir that I used to direct for 19 years at my church. And at different stages, they were children, and now they're young adults. And so I knew, you know, having contact with them, I knew some of the life challenges that they had gone through. And so I approached each one of them individually and asked if they would be a part of this project. And the stories, I mean, they're just different stories that are very common, not just for young adult women, but for everybody. Yeah. And people don't talk about it. Depression, abuse, suicide, loneliness. Those are probably the four main, and a loss of life, you know, loss of life from dear ones, you know, parents. And that's what most of the themes are, how would I say it? The themes surround those kind of life challenges.
Yeah.
And so that's how I came about, you know, being involved with them. Then of course my kids. Now my daughter and my son didn't have a story that they shared, but they collaborated on a couple of songs as writers. They're really talented. You know, of course we say that if parents can relate, you know, we say that about our children, but they really are talented, you know. I'm thankful for that. So that was a fun thing to have them and some of my nieces and nephews involved, but these young ladies, you know, because, you know, one of the things that's happening, that's coming into fruition when this comes out, and we're looking at it being a hardback book, in fact, not a paperback. And the first book was hardback. It was beautiful. And so what is coming into fruition and is actually an initiative that I've decided to just create and launch with this project. This project is a part of launching this initiative, and that is a mentorship program. Mentoring through the arts, which is what I've done all my life. You know, when I was in high school, people would say, they'd ask me, well, what are your dreams and your goals? So my dreams and goals always included wanting to make a positive difference in the lives of others, but especially children. Mm-hmm. And so to be doing this project, and they're young adult women that were children at one point in time, but still they coming up, there was a mentoring happening as a choir director, and coming up with this project, there's a whole mentoring process that just naturally and spontaneously happened. Not just with the stories, but with the music. Like, I'm really, really excited about some of these young musicians and writers. They are just, the quality of their craftsmanship is just so great. It's like, wow. And they're like, they call me Miss Sherry or Auntie. I'm like, whoa. That makes me feel really old. No, you don't have to call me Miss Sherry. Not ma'am, please, no.
Right. Yeah.
And they're like, we're just so thankful that we're, you know, we're a part of this. And I'm like, well, I'm just as thankful that you're a part of it. You just don't understand, right? So, yeah.
Well, and such a gift, it sounds like. I mean, it's like you've gathered all these collective sparks, and together it's like this beautiful flame, right?
Yes.
It's been like,
yes,
that's ignited what, yes. in this album and in this book.
Yes, yes. And then, you know, you talk about igniting and the sparks. One thing that I believe is that who we are, because I know what, I'm going to back up a little bit. One of the things that used to happen when I was in high school and I would tell people I wanted to record and write music and perform, they'd say, well, you know, you have to know somebody. Mm-hmm. And I used to tell people, who I am will attract all the people that I need to attract to get to where I need to go. And then on top of that, with my faith, you know. And so, like, even how I came about getting my first manager, right? And he was very instrumental in that whole process during the time of my signing with Capitol Records, and that's John Rotz. And so John Rotz and I met, I think we were on a retreat and for TM, Transcendental Meditation, It kind of, you know, because, you know, as things, this was like years ago, you know, things start kind of coming together.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, well. So what happened? I know it. What happened is that one of my late aunts was an actress. One of her best friends was her neighbor, and she was married to Henry Louis, who was a great producer. I think he worked with, was it Joni Mitchell? I can't remember who it was, but it was somebody really big. And so she had, you know, introduced me to him because she wanted him to hear my music. And what he did is he says, well, I know this new manager and you're new. And he knew John Rotz and he introduced us.
Okay.
Well, it turned out that John was a meditator and so was I. And so, you know, we were earlier on, we were in that working relationship, we were on this retreat. So I felt like that was a part of that, as you would say, igniting within. That was who I am, attracting the people that I needed to attract in my life to help me on this road.
I love that story. It's so beautiful and it resonates with me so much. You know, I just have to share with you. And you know, it's rare. I love that you were this young woman. And to have that kind of wherewithal and that inner stuffing and belief in yourself, I mean, that's so powerful and I think rare. And what a beautiful gift. You know, what it reminds me of is when I was first starting in private practice, and I remember I sent out, you know, 100 notifications, this is 15 years ago, to let people know, you know, that I was doing this. Well, for 2 weeks, it was just crickets. I didn't get one phone call. I didn't get one response. And then my dad says to me on a phone call, he's like, well, how are you praying for this? And I said, well, at this point, I'm just pretty much going, God, please, 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 yes. You know, send me somebody. And he said, you know, you're going about this all wrong. He said, I'd like you to drop into your heart and just write down right now, God, thank you. And he said, do it 10 times, write down, I am so thankful.
Yeah.
For how many clients? He says, how many clients do you want? And I said, well, I'd like to start with 6 because I was still working for the school district at the time. And so it was really interesting. It was like, so feel it in your heart. Put out the gratitude. Really feel it. Write it down. And the next day, I got my first call. And the next day, another. And the next day, another. I mean, yes. And by the end of the week, I had 6 clients. And I've been full for 15 years, you know. So the abundance and the belief in exactly what you're saying, it's like, it's if we believe it, they will come, right? We've heard if you build it, they will come. And it's the same thing. If you believe it, you believe in you, you believe in that connection with whether you call it your higher power, the divine source, it's the combination that will attract the people that you need to show up and be there when you need them.
Right. For me, I'm a praying soul. That's what I can say. And I'm very open and accepting to, you know, other forms of prayer and beliefs and philosophies. And that's I'm very thankful that that has happened in my life, you know, because it expands the horizon for me and the people that you can reach and touch. But I still am a praying soul. So I'm be like, oh God, please. And you know, it's a great reminder, right? So it doesn't matter how long we do stuff. Sometimes we forget or we get too comfortable. And so even in our conversation now, it's just like a reminder because we're working on setting everything up for the release. And we're looking at like around April the 2nd, right? So there's so much that has to be done. And when you, as you're in this business, sometimes people can get so jaded because it can be really rough, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm sure you've had some experiences yourself. And so I've been doing it for so long, and I'm thankful that I've not become jaded. Yeah. But sometimes it's still really hard. So these conversations like the one that you and I are having, it's just a reminder. Oh, Sherry, don't you abandon that. Oh, you better go back to that. Did you forget? Remember. Oh, it's just enforcing that. It's like building up that fortress.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You know, and I love that. I, you know, when we move into that place of gratitude, I can see both your and my faces lit up because it shifts the energy and the perspective, right? It shifts what we're putting out there. And so I want to know from you too, Sherry, what were some of the earlier, you know, hardships that you yourself were able to overcome? And because you do have this beautiful, loving energy about you, and obviously you're not jaded, even though it's, you know, there's always rough, we go through challenges. That's part of our human condition. Is there something for you that might've been like one of those defining moments, like when you overcame that challenge, it opened up something in you?
Yes. And I have a story as a young adult in this book, the upcoming book. And sometimes it's hard for me to find things. One, because of my upbringing and how supportive my parents were. So there are two things that happened. One was pretty ongoing because being the oldest of 8 and mom and dad didn't have a lot of money. So we couldn't afford to buy the brand name clothes and shoes. And so sometimes, and then along with that, I was like a real student, so kids would call me the teacher's pet, and kids can be pretty brutal. And so what happened is my mom would always say, you're beautiful, you know. They're beautiful too, they just don't know it yet. And they have the problem, you don't have the problem. And it's just something that they just made a part of our lives. So when so during those years, it was very painful. Sometimes I felt very lonely because I felt like an outcast. Mm. And I think that is what made me turn to my music even more. And I continued that. Now, when I was in just out of high school, I was in going to a junior college, still doing my music, performing. I was in I had a relationship and dated this man, young man, because we were both young, but he was older than me. And I just knew this was my soulmate. Mm. And, you know, I'm 20, 21. That may be young to people, but when you're in that age within it, it doesn't seem like I'm too young. You're too young. It's like, that's just the right thing. So anyway, we were supposed to get married. He actually asked me twice. And so the relationship was not a very healthy one for me because I was always giving more than he was giving to the relationship, you know, as, you know, during the dating period. I can share it now. I remember one day he said, I want to be with somebody that's like you, but somebody who's crazier. I'm like, crazier. And, you know, the only thing that I could think of is that, you know, there were certain integrity factors about what I would do and what I wouldn't do. And so that may have had something to do with it, but it was so painful. He had taken me out on a date and he said, I don't know why I don't feel like giving you flowers like other men want to do for their girlfriend. I'm like, and you know, I'm like, oh no.
Ow.
And I remember that I just, you know, cried my heart out. I had moved away from home for the first time, had my own place. And I remember going to bed every night on the couch, waiting for that phone call that never came. And I just cried. I was just so depressed. And my family, they were the ones that came by and brought me a Christmas tree and did this, my little brothers and sisters. And so what I had to do was remember what my mom used to tell me. That you're beautiful. And I used to go in the mirror every day and I would look, you're beautiful. You're wonderful. I didn't believe it. You know, you're beautiful. You're wonderful. Oh, you are. After a while, after doing, you are beautiful. I am beautiful. I'm wonderful, right? And so that story. So you know what? You and your show have a sneak preview of my story that's going to be in this book.
Love it.
And then there's a song I picked to go with that. So, yeah, so that is something that, you know, is good for me. So, yeah.
Beautiful story. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. We're going to have to take a break. I love the story. I want to speak a little bit more about it. I want to talk about the song connected to it. And so come on back and join this just wonderful conversation with myself and Sherry Brown. Be right back.
Get empowered on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back. I am Stephanie James here on The Spark, and I'm here with Sherry Brown, award-winning songwriter, singer, Emmy-nominated producer, and just amazing soul. I'm just so thrilled to have this connection with you and have you here on the show. Thank you, Sherry.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You are welcome. So we are talking about this powerful book that's coming out from this also amazing album, Messages from the Spirit, The Collective. I want to ask you first, how did you come up with that title? I love that title.
It was the follow-up from Messages from the Heart, the first book and music project. And so I wanted this one to go deeper, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. The subject matter. The first book, the subject matter was deeper. I mean, I'm sorry, not deeper, but it was deep. But it was very, there were a lot of different story lines and issues and themes, right? This one is more focused on the theme of the kind of challenges that young adult women go through. But it's not exclusive to young adult women, because it's surprising that most of these, the themes and the stories transcend women and relates to all people.
Yeah.
So I wanted, you know, what is it? If I was to get a visual, the spirit, the light, you know, the coming out, getting over, getting through, and the healing that comes from the spirit within and the spirit without. So that's what my mindset was about when I came up with the title.
Yeah. Beautiful.
There's a song. There's a song. The theme song for this is called Spirit. And my daughter, Maya Nicole, co-wrote it with me and another young musician, writer, arranger. He did most of the horn arrangements on this project. His name is Marcus Paul. And so she's singing it. She's also the featured singer for this, the recording, the song. And just yesterday, we were doing some filming for some promotional videos that we're going to be doing and for the project. And so there's a song called Her Blue Shoes, you know, and so what happened is I have a mentor. Oh my gosh. So I have a mentoring program that I had been doing for 2 to 3 years, and it was a songwriting process. So it was a 6-month program. And so I worked on all the things that you'd need to do from A to Z to write and record a song. And how do you copyright it? And how do you register with ASCAP or BMI, et cetera, et cetera. And the last, the product that would come out of these 6 months would be to take a song that the person has written or co-written with me, go into the studio and do a professionally produced recording of that song. Mm-hmm. So what would happen, I would be working with teenagers, college age or just getting ready to go to college, and young adults. And so during the process of these 6 months, we would be talking. Sometimes I would talk to them and say, what would you like to share about your song? What would you like to share in your song about your life? How you feel? Well, write it in the song. And so what happened, they started opening up about things that were happening in their lives. They were just talking. I would just listen, no judgments. And some of what they shared was just like, wow, really deep. Well, there was this young man, his name is Jeremy Alexander. And he was one of my mentees, right? I call it, for the lack of a better word. And so I said, well, if you're gonna write some lyrics, what would you write? I said, just give it a shot. So he said, got on my blue shoes and a red t-shirt. They don't match, but I guess it'll work. I'm like, what? That's it. That's the opening line for the verse of this song. And so as we were talking, I said, I know, let's make it about her blue shoes. Her blue shoes taking me where I need to go. You know, nobody knows. Basically, I'm not giving you all the lyrics. I'm just giving you the theme of the song. Nobody knows but me how I feel wearing my blue shoes. You know, you can never know until you walk in somebody's shoes, kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
And I produced the song, and I did a version where he's singing it, and I did a version where I'm singing it. And I said, okay, that's gonna be the one version I sing will be on the album. And so it's called Her Blue Shoes. It's really something. And so anyway, yesterday what we were doing was filming some pieces, promo pieces that are surrounding her blue shoes, the theme of her blue shoes and the women. So my daughter, I asked her, can you come and being in one segment of the video. You know, she said yes, and then her daughter, my two granddaughters, 8 and 2, were in it also.
Oh,
so yeah.
That's one of the things I loved about your video too, and I Choose Love, is were those your grandchildren in there too?
One was my granddaughter. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them were my nieces and nephews. So one is my granddaughter. And then 1, 2, 3 were friends of theirs.
So
or friends or a friend of mine, and I asked, you know, when you have them come in. Yes. So my thing is to use it's my thing is I want to take as many people along the way with me. One of my other mentees, she did the program also. She plays a ukulele. And her song is called Can I Leave Next Friday? It's the only song on the album that I have nothing to do with the writing of it, but I produced it and co-arranged it with someone I work with very closely. His name is Steve Barry Cohen. He's one of the producers I work with, and he does the engineering and the mixing, the mastering. We've been working together for probably at least 30 years. And so she was talking one day and she was telling me, so I think she was like 18 or 19 years old. And she was telling me, and she was also in the choir as a little girl that I directed. And I always thought she was younger than she is, because she looked like she was 10 years younger than she actually is. And she was talking about how she actually, her parents put her in a psychiatric ward when she was in junior high, maybe even middle school. And to make a long story short, she tried to commit suicide, probably more than once. And then she talked about how she appreciated her parents and their caring to act and do something to help her. So as we were talking, and as she was sharing, and as she was writing her song, one of the things is she would always say, well, Doc, can I leave next Friday? I said, that's the title of the song. Would you be interested in working and contributing your story to this project that I'm working on? And she was. And I said, okay, let's finish the song. You finish the song, we're going to produce it, and that be the song that's related to your story. It's amazing. It really is amazing. So they're powerful stories, you know.
So powerful. Oh, my goodness. And so you've had this continued relationship with these mentees. Now, are these are the same women you were talking about that you've had in choir for 19 years?
Well, they weren't in the choir for the whole 19 years. I was doing the choir for 19 years. And so, you know, they're different age groups.
That
you know, they might be 5 years apart from each other, that kind of a thing. And they may have been, some of them may have been in the choir almost throughout the 19 years, if they started young enough, because it was a children's choir. And I think you had to be at least 6 years old. And sometimes I would take them a little younger if they seemed like they were more advanced. And I never really turned them away. Even if they were younger, I'd let them sit in the choir stand and, you know, just be who they are. And then they would go, usually stay in until they graduated from high school. Mm-hmm. And so some of them were just extremely wonderful singers, talented. And so I knew their talents also. I didn't necessarily know everybody's story at first. And some of them developed over the years and I became aware of it. Like there's this one song called Get Up, Stand. I call this a miracle song. You're talking about being in a room and the light and the spirit. This was so, it's spontaneously happened. So we're recording a group of live musicians. We're in the studio recording. And we finished this one song and we're just continuing to groove and play. So you can understand now that I know that you know, we're in a band or are in a band. And so we're just grooving. And we're excited because it is sunny. So I'm playing my acoustic and I'm like, oh my gosh. And we're just grooving. We play for about 5 minutes. Well, Steve is in the control booth and he's recording it. And the musicians don't know it. Now, I kind of knew it because he has a way of doing that. If something's really happening, he'll record it without anybody knowing. And when I heard it back, it was like, that music. And so it took me a month of listening to the song over and over and over again. It wasn't a song yet. It was just the music track because it had no structure, right? Because we were just grooving. So I'm like, how can I get some type of a structure out of this? How can I get a verse that's clearly the verse and the chorus? And I finally came up with something. And then so one of the singers, so there's three of us that are spotlighted on this song and featured on the song. And so one of them, her name is Shawn Moore. And I asked her if she would tell a story because her mom passed away. And she's in college, right? So she's still a young adult. She was in college then, but she had been out of high school. So her mom passed away and then her dad passed a year later. So, and she was close to both of them. So I said, well, you know, I approached her about writing a story and how she's dealing with it and overcoming. And so she did. And she did that. And I had in mind to dedicate a song to her before this song came up and we recorded it. And so when that song came up, I said, okay, I'm going to talk to Shawn to ask her if she'll be one of the featured artist singers on it. And then we're going to use that song for her story. And then, you know, you were asking about Beautiful Girl. I think we're going to use Beautiful Girl for my chapter, right?
Yeah.
And, The music video is actually available. It's on YouTube. I have a YouTube channel, Real Sherry Brown, S-H-E-R-E-E Brown, right? And so both my granddaughters are in this music video. And my niece, who's a teenager, is in it. And so I co-wrote it with this artist named Naila Porter. And she and I are singing it we're both featured singers on it.
Oh my gosh. So many beautiful offerings and gifts that you're sharing with the world, Sherry. I just want to acknowledge your light and the amazing gifts that you bring. And, you know, do you have, what would be for you an essential message that you'd want to leave with the audience?
Just continue to love no matter what happens. Continue to love. I think that love can conquer everything. I know people say I'm a dreamer, but I believe that. You know, love is strong. Love is a very strong, powerful energy and action. And I mean, you can pronoun, noun, adjectives, verb, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Any way you look at it, you know, like earlier when my phone was twirling around, you know, that's... love just twirl around like that too. Right. Oh my god. Your audience is like, what are they talking about? I'm going to remember that forever.
That is so good. When Sherry and I, like I said, when we started this conversation, we could not quit laughing and the phone was twirling and we were trying to get set up and we both just had the best, the belly laugh that either one of us has had in a long time. So
yes.
It's good medicine. Laughter is good medicine. Love is good medicine. And I am with you, Sherry. I feel like that is the healing force in this world and that there is hope. You know,
And then, you know, this is a cliche we hear all the time, to believe in yourself. I believe that, you know, the more we can. And that's why I think the healing process is so important. That's what I love what you do. Why I love what you do, because you help to facilitate that. The healing is very, very important for us to be well. And so the best ways to become well in the most positive ways is what we should be striving for, so that as we go in, we can go in more, better. And then what comes out and is ignited, as you say, you know, will be more powerful and will spark. Wow, I just love your word. Oh, we will spark the lives of others, you know, be a spark in the lives of others. So yeah, love is really, sometimes when I get really upset, especially, you know, this project, a lot of it was done, the tail end of it was done during the shutdown of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. That was really very hard as I look back, you know, and but it was very revealing, and it made me think about life and what was important to me and others in a way I hadn't probably ever before. You know?
There's no volume.
Sorry about that. It made me really want to work to finish this. The last song we did, two things. I Choose Love, when we were filming it, the last film date happened the weekend before everything shut down. And then what happened is there was one, we were finished, and there was one song that my son had started writing, and he lives in Philly with his wife and new baby. And he sent a recording of this music track. I was like, oh my gosh, I have to figure out a way to finish writing this and put it on the album. Well, everything was closed. You couldn't go into the studio. And so that's the hardest thing I've ever worked on. I had to record my vocals and my backgrounds here at the, where I am. I'm this office space slash music. And I had to wait till about 2 o'clock in the morning when there were no sounds, no cars, you know, it's pretty quiet around here, but there's still sounds, right? And so I'm up here, I have everything off, so that there's no humming noises. And I'm like, where is that humming? And I found out it was the overhead light. And it was, I couldn't have the fan on. We were in a heat, in the middle of a heat wave. So I had to turn the light off. Here I am, 2 o'clock in the morning with the, in the dark, perspiring up a storm, because it's hot, I can't have the fan on, doing this music, singing these verses and lead. And it took me 10 times longer to do it than if you're in the recording studio, because you can just go and adult and listen to it, the playback. Oh, let's go back and let's fix this. Yeah. Well, but we did, it's called Salt and Light, Rise Up, Rise.
Yes. Yeah, Rise Up. So. Yes. So many amazing songs. Oh my gosh. And such a awesome conversation, Sherry. I could just keep talking to you all day. Just such a joy and delight. And again, people can find you at
www.realsherrybrown.com. That's realsherrybrown.com. So a number of the things that we've talked about, you can get information about it online. The album's available now. My past albums are available. And we'll start posting things on the site as we get closer to the launch, this mentoring initiative surrounding Messages from the Spirit.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, thank you for the messages that you shared today, believing in ourselves, loving ourselves. You know, really, yes, just that we can take the challenges we've faced and turn them into beautiful stories and beautiful music.
Yes.
Uplift the world. Thank you, Sherry Brown.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.